Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from a work that I put together regarding the millennium. It's called No Millennium, Really? That was the feeling of my heart as I realized that there are so many down through the ages and today also who have just denied the possibility of a transitional kingdom called the millennium before the new heavens and the new earth. Right after Jesus comes and sets it up. They just denied it all, and I had to address that. We're going through the entire Bible, finding passages that demand this coming kingdom. We're in Jeremiah right now. Jeremiah's focus is the people in front of him, backsliding Judah. But even so, occasionally, this weeping prophet is able to clear his eyes long enough to see well into our own future. One fascinating prediction that the prophet makes is regarding the line that will lead to the Messiah, who will sit on the throne of David. In chapter 22, he lets us know that no descendant of Jeconiah, who is in direct descent from David, will sit on the Davidic throne. But is not Jesus a descendant of Jeconiah? Actually, no. I think we talked about this. The line of David through Solomon and Josiah and Jeconiah ends in Joseph, the foster father of our Lord. That's not the bloodline. Jesus' bloodline comes through another son of David, the relatively unknown Nathan, not the prophet, but Nathan, the son of David. Mary traces her lineage all the way back to Nathan and thus to David. The promise to David of an earthly but heaven-inspired and eternal rule is still intact. And as I said, we covered this already. In the very next chapter, though, Jeremiah 23, is Jeremiah's famous prophecy of the branch. The etymology of this word, some say, gives rise to the New Testament reference to Jesus being called a Nazarene, but we won't talk about that right now. Jeremiah 23, excuse me. I believe we should begin this prophecy with verse 3, as God promises a plurality of good shepherds to his people, ruled over by the king. Now listen to every word. Verse 3, "But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them." That's during tribulation times. "And I'll bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth." That's Jesus, isn't it? "In his days, Judah will be saved. And Israel will dwell safely." They're not dwelling that way now. Now, this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. And therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, "As the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt," but "As the Lord lives who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." The government, and that was the end of that quote, "the government will be on his shoulders," as Isaiah would have it. He will supervise a worldwide team of resurrected men who will carefully control every aspect of earth's life. It should be obvious to all that such a day has not dawned upon us at this time in our history or any time in the past. Many have been rejoicing, for sure, since the return of the Jews in 1948. But so far, there's no indication that these Jews or the present state of Israel are the fulfillment of this prophecy. When Jesus returns, true Jews will be whisked back to their homeland, brought to repentance before their Lord, and with him and the Gentiles who have been grafted into the body, they'll rule the world. The contents of chapter 23 were deemed so important by the Spirit of God that he had them repeated in chapter 33. You can read it for yourself. Chapter 30, Jeremiah, mixes a coming horror called Jacob's trouble, we call it the tribulation, with promises of a restored Israel. Again, every word of prophecy is important. Read it carefully. Listen, for behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord. Now you look in Luke 21, you'll see that indeed they're going back into a temporary captivity. They're going to be caught away again and scattered again. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Now, these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. Oh, well, that's a discussion today, isn't it? Well, it isn't true. No, men don't have babies. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor and all faces turned pale? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, none. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them. No more. No more. You see, that's been happening down through the centuries. But when this happens in Jeremiah, it's not going to happen anymore. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king. What? When did that happen? Whom I will raise up for them. Wherefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return. Jacob will have rest and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, I will not make a complete end of you. But I will correct you in justice, and will not let you go altogether unpunished. So you see it? There's a return, an ultimate punishment as seen in Daniel and the Gospels. David is to be the ruler of a new kingdom. Some see this as a code name for Jesus. Others see the real King David resurrected, like the text actually says, and placed under Jesus in the millennial reign. These details fit perfectly with the other passages that predict a kingdom period. Look also in chapter 31 of Jeremiah. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with your tambourines. You shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. You shall yet plant vines on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and eat them as ordinary food. For there shall be a day when the watchman will cry on Mount Ephraim, arise, let us go to Zion, to the Lord our God. Now, returning of Israel, that's happened different times. There are parts of this that seem to have taken place through the years, but ultimately, this is the thing that will happen, because at that time, the world is going to be called, and so is Israel, to go up to Zion, to the Lord, where he will actually be, not just a temple, but he himself. So vines and mountains and worship centered in Zion, these are realities, this is material, this is literal. The pattern is real. Look at verses 8 through 11, same chapter. Behold, I will bring them forth from the north country and gather them from the ends of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and the one who labors with child together. A great throng shall return there, and they shall come with weeping, and with supplication I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. Here's the gathering at the end of our present age. And again, I do not believe that 1948 fulfilled all of that. The rivers, the isles, a literal earth where literal Israel will prosper at last. It hasn't happened. It's going to happen. And verses 12 to 14, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and new wine and oil for the young of the flock and the herd. Their souls shall be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more at all. Is that true of modern Israel? Not at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together. For I will turn their mourning to joy. I will comfort them. I will make them rejoice rather than sorrow. Has that happened? Not at all. I will satiate the soul of the priests. Priests? Priests with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. No more sorrow, hasn't happened. Mourning turned to joy, hasn't happened in Israel. Priests, stand by for Ezekiel. And God's people, totally satisfied? No, not so, but it will be. This is prophetic vision. This is the real deal. Why do we have to endure the so-called prophets of our day who know nothing and say nothing real, say nothing true, when we have such glorious promises in the book from real prophets of God? I'm still in that same chapter, verses 31 to 37. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. I'll write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They shall be my people. And no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. And from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day. There it is, another clue that we're not in the new heavens and new earth. The sun is still here. The ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. Now, a new covenant is coming. Well, it came, you said. Of course it came. It is here. But that kingdom that's going to be over that new covenant, well, it's here too in exile. But we're going to see it in charge one day. Certainly this portion of the prophecy is visible among kingdom people in our own day, but will make more sense when the final rule is established. In that day, everyone left in the world will know Jesus. Everyone will be called to worship Jesus. And notice the promise to the nation Israel and her seed. Though we Gentiles have been grafted in by the grace of God, we need to understand that Israel's God, Israel's ways, Israel's everything will be the focus of that coming kingdom. Specific details of a geographical nature are added to Jeremiah's 31st chapter, once more letting us know that the kingdom coming is as literal as can be. Spiritualizing the word of God when it's already spiritual, that's dangerous business. Stay away from God's word. Don't mess with the scriptures. Don't change them into your own theology for your own purposes, whatever those might be. Next time, Ezekiel on the memorial sacrifices. We'll talk about that then. Now, there's a topic for you. Thank you for listening. Please look around the site. We've got 3,300 plus audios. Lots to listen to. I know you'll find something that will bless you. There's more fellowship that we can have at Pasture Lands, my YouTube channel. Or just contact me at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. And we'll talk about some Zoom meetings that we have also. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. This audio is being released on June the 30th, 2022. Lord willing, we get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.